And that makes us family. Family's willing to fight for each other. Family's willing to die for each other. Let's go, AU!
Chris Davis is going to drop back.
War Eagle, this is War Bloggle with War Bloggle Podcast, episode number 23. It is this is a tough one. I told you last week I really didn't want to. We have reached that time of year. It's baseball season. Auburn baseball plays tonight, but baseball season comes, and this is the time of year when all my dreams of wanting to play more video games or record more podcasts or do those types of things, they kind of disappear. So I've made a New Year's resolution to release a podcast every Friday, and it is Friday at 4:20 in the afternoon when I'm doing this. Normally, I would do these on Thursday. So, again, it's tough. This one might be quick. Tough time of year, so I'm just going to have to keep trucking on. But what is this? This is the seventh in a row, so we're 7 weeks in. I've done seven podcasts. Stick with me. Keep pushing me. I was very close to not doing this one. Anyway, we're doing it, though, so who cares? So, as I said, baseball starts tonight. Auburn plays Holy Cross. No clue how good they're going to be, but I'm talking about Holy Cross. Probably not very good, but you never know. It's college baseball. It's, you know, one game here. Anybody can beat anybody in baseball. That's why they play 160-plus in major leagues. So anybody can beat anybody. As I said last time, I honestly forgot that Auburn was the worst team in the SEC last year, record-wise, SEC record-wise. They had a better record than Ole Miss, who was the returning national champion, but in terms of overall record. But SEC record, we were the worst. We got better at the end, but we started off really bad, and I honestly had forgotten it. I knew we were hosted a regional the year before and lost our own regional, but I don't know if I'd just written it off or whatever, but when I went to the Auburn banquet, I guess 2 weeks ago, baseball banquet, Butch was talking about how we just got our head kicked in all year, and I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, we were bad. And then I went and looked back, and yeah, it was bad. So, you know, hopefully everything's better this year. We've got brought in a ton from the transfer portal, which is kind of the name of the game in baseball now. We don't take a lot of high school kids. There are some on Auburn's team. Jackson Sanders, who grew up in Opelika, he's a high school kid, pitcher, lefty pitcher that throws gas. But a lot of it is going to be kids that go the JUCO route. You know, you go back to Sonny DeShera, he came from Samford. But it's a lot of, and I know a lot of guys right now in the high school baseball scene that are really good players, but they're going to go JUCO. You're going to play for a year rather than sit at D1 and then most likely work their way up to D1 baseball. So that's the way it's done now. So Auburn's not recruiting a ton of high school baseball talent. They are recruiting some. They're bringing in some. Every team is. But a lot of it is transfer portal. Our starting shortstop came from Florida. Stuff like that kind of thing. So I'll be there tonight. By the time you listen to this, Auburn would have already won, let's say, 11-1. But anyway, let's go back a week. I know, again, I don't know the great timing to do these, especially during basketball season. Seems like by the time you hear these, the next game has already happened. But you play two games a week. It's just tough to do. So let's go back a week. Since the last podcast, which episode 22 of the podcast was, now that Auburn's number one, I don't know what to do with my hands because Auburn had been number one like 4 weeks in a row. Then, of course, like pretty much every game we've had in the SEC play, almost all of them, not the Oklahoma game, not Mississippi State game, we get out to a big lead. We're talking about Florida here, sorry. Florida game, top six battle. They only had three losses, and they were all good losses. But, you know, Auburn gets out to a 10-point lead. It's a massive game. People, you know, spent the night, all that stuff for 4 or 5 days. Huge game. And then for whatever reason, Florida couldn't miss a shot pretty much the last 12 minutes of the first half, shooting everything. Every three was going in. Every ball was bouncing right back to them. We got frustrated. We started playing hero ball and couldn't keep up. And then played a little bit better in the second half, but it was too much. I mean, they got up the lead up to 20 at some point, and, you know, I think the final total was 9, final deficit. But, you know, I had been saying this for weeks that Auburn was going to lose a game. It's college basketball. It's not college football. People can't, you know, I'll talk about this in a second when I talk about the poll. People can't separate the two for some reason. I mean, this is like, you know, if Auburn loses to Holy Cross in baseball today, somebody acting like that really, really matters. Now, if Auburn gets swept by Holy Cross, that would matter. But in the sports where you play a lot of games, there's a reason you play a lot of games, because the one game, the outcome is not always telling you who the better team is. You know, in baseball, you play series. You play a billion games, because a lot of times the best team, not a lot of times, but it's hard to say that the team that won is decidedly the better team. That's why you do series in basketball playoffs in the NBA. It's hard to say who the best team is by one game. So, you know, I've been saying Auburn was going to lose a game, and it wasn't going to be the end of the world, because the resume they had already built, the games and the wins they already have, which is like 13 quad one wins now as we stand right now, is almost unsurpassable, even if people went undefeated the rest of the season, even if other teams went undefeated the rest of the season, which is not going to happen. Maybe one team will, but it's not the end of the world. And I also said it was going to take a really bad performance for that to happen. And in basketball, you're going to have those. Now, at home is a little weird, but that kind of can, I can kind of segue-ish into something I've argued, not argued, but something I've said for years. I mean, early Bruce days with Simeon Bowers and all those players, that sometimes our hype, sometimes our excitement in the arena can be a detriment. First of all, let's take a step back. The whole week, our students are out, you know, sleeping in the tents and building up all that hype, but honestly, probably not really getting a lot of rest. You know, this happened a few years ago with the Kentucky game. It was Pearlville and all that kind of stuff, and everybody's out there in the middle of the night, and it's freezing and whatever. Then they get in the game, and they got to wait till a night game, which the Florida game was at 3, I think. Was it at 3? 6? It was mid-afternoon-ish, I think. Yeah, it was. But, you know, they're dead. And so, you know, it seems like every time we've had one of these big Pearlville games, it hadn't really helped the students. Like, I get it. It's fun. It's a college thing. You don't want to be left out. You don't want to, you know, lose a spot. So the first time somebody puts a tent down, that means everybody's going to put a tent down. It's almost one of those things like, can't y'all just not put a tent down and we'll all agree to just show up orderly? But no, when one person does it, everybody has to do it. But it just seems like the Pearlville games aren't the greatest output of the jungle. I'm not saying they were quiet. I'm not saying anything like that. But maybe they weren't to their top, because everybody's dead tired from staying up in a tent all night. Now, that's kind of contrary to what I was arguing, but what I'm about to say is at Auburn's arena, when it gets to that point, and this is a lot of places, a lot of home court advantages, it gets to that point where it's so exciting and so loud and so whatever that you start to assume that you can just show up and win. Like, this crowd is going to be too loud for Florida to even, you know, function in there. They're not even going to be able to get a shot off. And that obviously is not true. I mean, it makes you start to think that everything you throw up is going to go in. So you stop worrying about fundamentals and what got you there, and you just start doing whatever. You start taking the Chad Baker Mazzara approach of just let's spin around in the lane and throw it up backwards and maybe get fouled. But so I feel like Auburn's arena has become but it can be, in these massive situations, almost a detriment. When you've got to play your best, you got to play your most sound basketball, you got to take care of the basketball more, you've got to do all the things that you're good at even better and really lock in and focus. When the crowd is going crazy, it's easy to unfocus. And what the crowd should be doing is making the other team not focus, but they're coming in knowing it's going to be hostile and a battle and all those things. And they're probably locked in a little bit more. They're not going, oh, I'm scared. I mean, they're an SEC D1 basketball player. They're not really scared of that stuff. But so on our side, though, it's like it gives them this confidence in a bad way, that everything's going to go in. Florida's never going to miss a shot. They're not going to be able to function, and that's just not true. So I don't know the answer to that. I'm not saying the jungle is wrong in any way of being crazy. They need to be crazy. That's the whole point of home court advantage. I just feel like our team needs to realize just because they're loud, that doesn't mean it's going to go in. And then on the contrary, I've said contrary twice now in this podcast, when Florida takes a lead, we're not used to that. And then the jungle is just absolutely silent. Not saying anything bad about the jungle. I just mean the home crowd, whatever, at any team, it's going to be silent because we haven't been used to that all year. So if you're going to be crazy and it's going to make our team not focus, then that turns into the other team taking a lead. And then you could hear a pin drop. So I don't know I guess all I would say here is the players need to understand that just because it's loud doesn't mean every shot's going to go in. So we kind of got to that point, and then it was Florida could not miss for about a 12-minute span, and it just snowballed, and we went out of our way of playing and into the, well, I got to take this game over and win it for our team. Kind of everybody was that way. But, you know, it is – Auburn has lost basketball games. Jani Broome has been on a okay Auburn basketball team, but this year – we haven't been. I mean, Iowa State was the last time we were losing by that much. It was a road game. It was a Maui game, so they didn't have the crowd, and there was, you know, crowd was not a major factor in that. But it's just we were very shocked. I don't know what to say. We were shocked because Florida was good. We kind of thought we might lose the game going into it, but it was one of those things where we just had not had experience with this team being that, you know, getting beaten that bad. So, but it was a quick turnaround. Auburn, that was Saturday. Auburn went to Vandy on Tuesday, which honestly, after a loss, is probably the worst place you could go. I meant to look it up. I hadn't looked it up, but I know Auburn has lost a billion games up there. We've won a few recently once Bruce came and changed everything. But, for years, I want to say like 30 times in a row, we had lost up there because it's not a real basketball arena. If any other school used a gimmick, it is a gimmick. Any sort of gimmick arena, then they would kind of be maybe not lambasted, made fun of, maybe even pushed to change it, that kind of thing. But because it's Vandy, it's like, oh, it's cute Vandy. They don't ever win anything, which in basketball they do. They've been very good in basketball before and in baseball, obviously. But it's like, oh, it's just Vandy. Let them have this. Well, if you have to change literally everything about where your bench sits and where your coach stands, now the coaches do stand. They let them stand on the side, or maybe one coach just realized you could, because forever the coach was standing at the baseline with the team. And you'd have to yell completely all the way down at the end of the court and couldn't go, you know, more than whatever. But now they do let them stand there. You're above the crowd. The building is basically a square. You've got weird sight lines, and it's just, oh, it's Vandy. Let them have it. Well, Vandy wins a lot because of that, because the backdrop and seeing the goal much differently than any other arena. Yes, that is why half the reason basketball home court advantage is so prominent is because they can, you know, one team has seen what the goal looks like. What is behind the goal matters in shooting, because it's all about depth perception and all that kind of stuff. I remember one time in college, twice in college, I got to go down on the court and do like the free throw contest or whatever it was. And I remember standing at the 3-point line and it felt like I was 10 feet away from the goal. Like it felt so short compared to like your normal rec center where it's, you know, you've got a wall maybe 10 feet behind the goal. So you get down there and the sight lines, the backdrop and all that, that changes things. So you go into another arena, a regular arena, it's going to be a little bit different, but it's something you can probably pick up and, you know, after shoot around, two or three shoot arounds and all that kind of stuff, it's easy to pick up on. Well, you go to Vandy and you got this square arena that looks like a concert hall and it's just messed up. And again, the front row, the first row is down, is eye level with the court. It feels like you're standing up on a stage because it is like a concert hall. But again, it's just Vandy. Let them have it. All that to say, you know, Auburn is stunk there recently, or, you know, for the last 30 years. It has gotten better. But what happened? Auburn proved everything I just said wrong and went on a 15-0 run. What's his name? Denver Jones couldn't miss a shot. And it was like, okay, we got out of the Florida funk. However, anytime a team's up 15-0, what usually happens? The other team makes it 15-7, 17-8, something like that. And then it's back to a normal score. And then all because they got it back to a normal score, everybody goes crazy and they're excited. And it's just so pumped up and we're so excited. We gave them hope. Oh, we're coming back. That eventually they do come back. And Vandy did take the lead for a little while. It wasn't major. It was, I want to say, 2 or 4 points, maybe 5 points here or there. But then, you know, Auburn kicked back in and actually got the lead back up to 16, which was more than what they had. And I think they won by 12 or something like that. But that's another thing. I was mentioning this earlier when I was talking about Florida. It seems like every Auburn game has gone this way, except for the major blowouts like Oklahoma and Mississippi State. Auburn will get a pretty decent 10-12 point lead in the first half. I'm not saying we you know, just stop playing and give up because we think we've already won, but it seems like the other team always comes back in some way. It gets close, you know, maybe by half. I always say at halftime I want the lead to be 10 and I'm fine, because then the other team has to beat you by 10 in the second half, which is probably not going to happen most of the time. But it seems like Auburn gets up 10 or 12, then it gets down to like 3 or 4, especially on the road. They might even get a lead, and then Auburn pulls away in the last 8 minutes. I don't know how we stop that. I don't know if we are kind of giving up. There are some rotations that are put out there that are, honestly, I have texted people saying, I think once we get a lead, Bruce or whoever's doing the rotation sometimes like to create adversity and see how strong we are by putting not certain people, but certain groups of people out there that are not our scorers or maybe are not great at defense and, you know, lets the team come back 4 or 5 points or 4 or 10 points or something like that. I don't know. I'm not questioning Bruce. It's just a thing I've seen. And we've got 9-10 players that can play, but sometimes some of them don't need to be better or not better. Be together is what I meant to say. There's a graphic that floats around. Obviously, it changes every game, but that shows like the top duos or maybe the top trios of players, like in the plus minus thing. Broom is not in any of them somehow, but it's like Cardwell and Pettiford, when they're in together, Auburn takes the most leads or something. I don't know if it's Pettiford hitting threes and Cardwell's in there to get the rebounds and or whatever, but Broom kind of is almost a one-man show. Like, we get to the point where like, we're down 2. Okay, give him the ball 8 times in a row. We're probably going to score 6 to 8 points, something like that. But in terms of duos, Broom is not like in the top 20, 25 of plus-minus stuff. And that's not a bad thing. It just kind of shows how the game is played. Auburn's better when Pettiford or Cardwell are in. Broom might be in at that point or for some of that, but when it's there's no like combo of Broom and so and so where Auburn is top 25, which is kind of weird to say. But anyway, Auburn came out of Vandy with a win, which is something that you never used to say. I specifically remember watching a few years ago, and I want to say that they had won like 30 in a row or something stupid. Like, we hadn't won there in 30 years. Yeah, that might have only been like 18 games, but just something stupid. But Vandy's not bad. I mean, they were ranked 2 weeks ago, and then Oklahoma scored like 60 in the second half and beat them to come back and beat them. But they're not awful. They beat Kentucky. They beat Tennessee at their arena. So something that Auburn can't say. But anyway, so tomorrow, well, after that, so after the poll, after Auburn lost to Florida, I should have talked about this between the games, but after Auburn lost to Florida, Alabama beat, who was it? Oklahoma? Arkansas, who's got 3 wins in the SEC, ended up only beating them by like 3 or 4. But everybody's seen it. Tom Hart of SEC Network, Jimmy Dykes, who's an Arkansas guy, but loved Gus Malzahn, used to love Auburn. Then he kind of got mad at Auburn for firing Gus. And I don't know. I'm not saying he's like bad on Bruce. He loves Bruce. But both of them, when Alabama pulled away and had the monumental 3-4 point victory over 3-win Arkansas, they said, well, there's going to be a new number one in town. And, you know, that's been around Twitter. You've seen it. But that thought process is very football. That thought process, of course, every Alabama fan was on Twitter and whatever saying, you can't win and stay number one. Well, number one, I have seen, I remember not too long ago, 1 year, Ohio State lost and moved into number one. Now, it all matters what happened around that week, which is kind of stupid, which is what I'll talk about in a second. But you can lose. You can be so far ahead that if you lose, you can stay number one. Because number one is not a concrete thing. Number one matters to that year, that situation, whatever. There's not a rule. I know we have all these fake poll rules of, well, if you lose to number eight, you got to drop three spots. But if you beat number six, you're going up two spots. Like, people think that way. Pollsters think that way. And I hate that every single podcast I talk about polls, but people are stupid. But I specifically remember one guy on Twitter going, you can't lose and stay number one. Number one, this is, and I've said number one again, so I'm going to say number two. Number two, this is coming from a fan base that has been placed into playoffs over and over and over and over after not even winning their own division, not even winning their conference. So they have lost. You can't be in the playoffs and have two losses. Well, yeah, you can, apparently. So we've got this fan base that's going, you can't lose and stay number one. Well, guess what? Auburn lost, still had less losses than Alabama, still had less losses than Duke, because Duke lost. That was what kind of made this a thing. If Duke had won, Duke would have moved into number one. Just because Duke beat Auburn, they would then have the same amount of losses. No, they wouldn't. Duke had three. Now they have four. They lost to Clemson. But, you know, this idea, it's like, okay, now we can get back to normal. Alabama won again. Auburn lost. Well, again, if Alabama has three losses, guess what? Auburn beat two of the teams that Alabama beat, that Alabama lost to. Purdue destroyed Alabama, or, you know, won by 12-15. Auburn was beating Purdue by 30-something until they put in the white caboose, and I think they won by 16 or 18. Ole Miss beat Alabama at Alabama. Auburn goes on the road and beats Ole Miss by 10 or 12. So you want to, and then overall resume, better than any team in the nation. So like I said on the previous podcast, if Auburn's already done more than anybody has done or can do the rest of the year, why do we need to continue to play? Because right now we're just playing, you know, just to have, you know, random little games, and we're just going to pretend that nothing else matters because one game happened. Logic should prevail over timing. Just because Auburn lost and Alabama won 1 week shouldn't change anything. And luckily, the AP poll as a whole kept Auburn number one. There were still like 23 people that voted Alabama number one. There was one idiot, John Wilner, who is like a San Jose State writer, who hates Auburn in football and basketball. This is not fake. This is not me just being a little whiny fan. You can go look at every poll he's ever done in football and basketball, and every week has Auburn lower than everybody in both sports. There's something, maybe it's me calling him out all the time on Twitter. There is something that he hates about Auburn, or maybe he just doesn't care about his poll because he knows it really doesn't matter, and so he's just trying to rile people up. But, you know, he had Tennessee number one. They already had four or five losses. Then they lost again this week, so it was kind of, you know, whatever. Tennessee is 7-5 in the SEC. They were 7-4, and he had them ranked number one in the nation just after they had lost to Auburn not too long ago. But timing does not matter. Now, if Auburn and Alabama had the same record, if Auburn and Alabama had already played and they had split, sure, maybe, I get it. Okay, they lost, we got to drop them. But rankings are supposed to be just overall over the course of the year, not what happened this week. Again, the AP poll as a whole got it right. But that's because enough people had voted Auburn number one. Still, there were almost half as many idiots voting other teams number one. I mean, Florida deserves number one over Alabama at this point. I mean, they've beaten some good teams. They lost at Kentucky. I don't remember the other ones, but then, you know, back in the day when the coaches poll mattered in football and we could have a, you'd have the BCS champion and then the AP poll, if they wanted to be cool and different, they would vote somebody else different. There was that year that USC and LSU split in the AP poll. It was like, well, we're not going to care about the results. We're just going to go off of what we think is right. So the coaches poll had Alabama number one this week because some idiot, it's not the coaches poll, it's the sports information directors. Everybody knows that. They just put out a poll because whatever. Some idiot or five didn't like, don't like Bruce Pearl or didn't like whatever he did to Illinois, what it was 40 years ago when he told on somebody for cheating or whatever it was. Some idiot voted them. So SEC Network or ESPN or whoever like posted something bragging about the SEC saying like the SEC is in the top of, is the top five in five different polls or something. And they used Alabama being number one. And they, it said coaches poll. And everybody's like, what poll are they using? It says coaches. I honestly forgot the coaches poll existed in basketball. Used to when you'd go to like USAtoday.com or the, or ESPN or whatever, you click which polls you want to look at. There's the AP, whatever. They have the net, all those that actually matter, not the AP. The net matters. All those matter. You'd have the coaches poll as one of the options. I don't even think that's even an option anymore. If it is, it's something I've never heard. But Alabama fans that didn't get what they want with their football mindset decided to just start talking about the coaches poll this week. There, you can't tell me one time the coaches poll has been even mentioned at all because everybody knows it's not really coaches. Maybe the very last poll of the year when the coach, the other coaches don't have anything else to do because they've already lost, maybe that's the one they do. But it's the guy that sends in the email to the coaches poll administrator, whoever that is. That's who's sending the sports information director, the Kirk Sampson. Not to say, I don't think Bruce or Kirk has a vote, but maybe he does. So, again, the fan base that has been put into more college football playoffs after doing nothing want to sit there and say, can't lose and stay number one. Well, you lost three games and still get to play in the playoff that gets to determine the national champion. 2017, lost to Auburn. Didn't even make it to the SEC championship game. Got to play in the playoffs and won because they got put in there. They didn't deserve it, but they won a little four-team, two-game tournament. So don't listen to idiots. But Auburn's going to Tuscaloosa this week, probably by the time you hear this. 3 o'clock game. Game day is going to be there. They're going to have the, you know, I'm not a negative person. I just know basketball. I know what it's like to play there, and I know the situation Auburn's going into. You know, if Auburn hadn't lost to Florida, I don't know if I'd be more, you know, more whatever, confident. Not confident is not the word, but I wouldn't expect a win even more if Auburn had beaten Florida, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, my wife keeps saying, Beautiful Bloggle keeps saying that it was better that we lost our first SEC game to Florida, because if we lose Alabama, then they can't say that, which is kind of true. Because I want to say last time we were number one, they beat us, and that was the first loss. But either way, I know what Auburn's going into. I've seen these games. I've seen the officiating, and I'm not blaming officiating already, but seen it. This isn't my first big, you know, it's never been number one versus number two, but this isn't the first time I've seen Auburn go into a big game there where they're going to, you know, it's their Super Bowl. They're going to wear their little white hard hats and act all cool, and, you know, if they win, they're going to be like, see, I told you this is what it's supposed to be. You know, never mind we got destroyed by Purdue, who Auburn beat. Never mind we got beat at home by Ole Miss, who Auburn beat. Never mind that, you know, we've only got half of the quad one wins that Auburn does. This is what it's supposed to be. You know, even if the number one thing didn't happen, like even if Alabama was ranked number one after Auburn lost to Florida, they'd still be that way. Just to, see, I told, and that's always the sentiment. I mean, you saw the Vandy guys. It was 15-0. They made it 15-4, and they're thumping their chest going, see, I told you. I told you. What'd you tell us? Nothing. Have a different sentiment. Quit being a victim. Quit acting like you were being wronged because it was 15-0 or whatever. Or Alabama's being wronged because Auburn's got the best resume in basketball history and they're still ranked number one. Like, quit being a victim in everything. 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 Doesn't make you cool. Doesn't make you stronger. Just play. play better than the other team. If you want to, if you don't want Auburn to be number one, play a better schedule. Don't lose to Purdue. Don't lose to Ole Miss. There's other teams besides Alabama that should be number one. If there was another, if Auburn wasn't number one, there are other teams besides Alabama that could be number one, or that should be number one. But you know, you're dealing with people that just learned about basketball 2 days ago. Anyway, all right, so I rattled off 30 minutes right there after I wasn't going to do this. So, again, Auburn plays Holy Cross in baseball. Softball, I didn't mention this. Softball had another walk-off win today against Virginia. They beat Clemson yesterday. Right now, as I record this, they're playing Central Florida. So, I think they're 7-0, could be 8-0 at the end of the day. Pretty good start. I don't know that we've beaten any great teams. I know we had to walk-off win against Appalachian State. I feel like Clemson might be decent in softball. We beat them. Central Florida, I remember, beat us in the tournament a few years ago. We were up 1-0 a few minutes ago as I was watching, as I was recording. So, anyway, this has been the 7th podcast of the year, 7 out of 7. I think that's right. 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep. Oh, and happy Valentine's Day. All right. That's going to be it. Auburn's going to beat Holy Cross. Auburn's going to beat Alabama this weekend. Watch and see. 89-71. We're going to blow them out. All right, that's been episode number 23 of the War Bloggle podcast. War Eagle.